My privilege to share with you God's word this morning. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your most precious word. We ask that your Holy Spirit teach us, guide us to understand and be blessed by your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What is the most important thing to God when he calls a person to serve? Do you have any answer? Part-time, full-time, you know, in any ministry. Have you ever thought about that? Is it the ability, gift of that person? Well, maybe you say, oh, it depends on how urgent is God. Well, when we are urgent, we will lower the criteria, you know? And in the church, same thing. Okay, when we are lack of people, okay, anybody are welcome. Okay, because we need people. Okay, what's the criteria? Second, or maybe it's the spiritual quality of that person, right? So he must be spiritual. Yeah, sure, that is important. Or, I mean, that is his relationship with God, right? So he must be spiritual. Or maybe it's his scriptural knowledge, right? Or his experience in service. See, we do want someone to be experienced, you know, to know or to have some foundation of scripture. Or maybe his readiness. Is he ready to serve? Okay, so we look at this and see, okay, what would be the criteria? I mean, suppose you are the one who's looking for people, okay, who are looking for people to serve in a particular ministry. I think this may be a rather difficult and complicated question to answer. Do you agree? Yeah, because there are so many factors, right? Or perhaps there is no answer to this. Or, but perhaps there is. It depends on where we come from, what angle we're looking at it. Today I want to share with you Moses. I think in my opinion, Moses is the greatest leader, okay, par excellence of Israel. He turns slaves into nation. Basically, he's the founder of all Israel, right? And he's a prophet, but he ordained priests, right? He confronted kings. So I think he has a superior position before God and before man, right? Now, I want to share with you this passage you just read today. The very first thing God revealed to Moses before or while he called his servant, I think that is very important. And the answer to my question above, what is the most important thing, okay, to God when he seeks a person to serve? The answer is holy living, holiness. I'm not sure if you agree. Let's look at the passage. So above, I think this is above all else. This is the only thing, only one thing God revealed to Moses. Okay, let's set aside everything else, right? Okay, now I want to share with you 2 points, okay, from these 3 verses. Sure. Okay, first is like the call from the burning bush. Verse 1 to 4, and then knowing the attributes of God, that is of utmost importance. And that is what? That is God's holiness, that Moses must be aware, and so is everybody else. I think the reason why many of us do not have a mission or vision in our life, because we don't understand God, and we don't understand what is most important to God when it comes to serve him. So I'm taking this passage to hope that you'll find your mission in life first by understanding God's holiness. Okay, let's start. Verse 1, now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. I have major problem when I read this verse. I don't know if you do have problem. Do you know how far is Midian to Horeb? If you look at the map, you'll be stunned. Okay, so I draw this arrow. Okay, Midian is an area. Like maybe the nomads, they like there may be some cities, people living. Okay, so this is a huge area. Even at the tip, you know, of the Arabah. I mean, from there, traveling down to Mount Sinai, Horeb is Sinai, right? This is like 25 miles, okay? It takes 3 days to travel. And I'm stunned. I mean, who on earth, as a shepherd, will drive his flock for 3 days? Not only that, it says he led his flock to the west side of the what? Wilderness. Is there grass in the wilderness? I don't think so. We all know that Horeb is a what? It's a barren place. There's no grass, no water. Why on earth Moses drove his flocks for 3 days, you know? But on a more pragmatic, this is still within the range of ancient shepherds driving their flocks, okay, for gazing, for grazing, okay, this is still the grazing distance within. Now the thing is, if we look more close, oops, okay, let's look at some Hebrew words in this verse. First, keeping the flock is like the verb to be plus flock, shepherding is actually to be shepherding. It uses a participle means what? Means continue, habitual. So Moses has always been there, so this is his job. So this is like Moses is a great leader because he is a shepherd. Jesus is a shepherd. David is a shepherd. Okay, so Moses is a shepherd. This is his job for his father-in-law. So this is okay. Now the thing is, the next word, led to. Okay, led to is not the best translation for this word. It should be drive. Okay, I'll give you an example to see what this drive is. Okay, remember Jacob. Okay. When he left Laban, okay, he drove away. So here, same word is translated as drove away. All his lifestyle very similar. So what is he doing? He is migrating. He is moving away, going back to Canaan. This is the kind of word that is used. He's driving. So it's like Moses is doing his emigration, okay, he's moving his flock. So when we read this, we are surprised. And then he says his livestock, his properties he gained, livestock in his possession that he has acquired in Padan Aram, going to the land of Canaan to his father Isaac. So this is the kind of picture we will see from these words. So he's driving his flock. So what this means, this is a long journey with a specific destination. That's what this word lead tell us. So which means he's not randomly nowhere going, you know, grazing sheep. So, well, he can go here and then no grass, go another. No. He has a very specific destination to go. That's the message. Then this creates another problem. Why is he going there? Scripture doesn't answer. If we assume Moses as the author, I think Moses intentionally, you know, He didn't want us to know, okay? But one thing we do know, this is not his regular, routine, daily shepherding. Agree? I mean, you don't go all the way out 3 days to mountain, you know, desolated area to graze his flock, okay? Now, the application or understanding is, see, this is when Moses received his call. See, and that comes to another unexpected matter here. Usually, you know, have you read the gospel? How Jesus called his disciples? His regular daily routine work. But this is out of the normal, you know? So which means Moses' call is unlike everybody else, or unlike most people God called in Scripture. See, the thing is, I'm seeing this as a foreshadow. See, Moses is driving his flock all the way to Sinai. But months later, Moses drove all Israel to Sinai. So this is how we read chapter 3 later. Okay, this place, this mountain, Okay, Israel will worship in this mountain. So this is a prefigure. Okay, that may be a good explanation. But the thing is, like, whatever reason, we do see that because Moses was not expected to see God in the burning bush, as we read this passage. So for some reason, Moses was drawn to Horeb. Okay, we don't know why. Okay, but the thing is, unknowingly, that is the place when he met God, or when God called him. Okay, now verse 2. Okay. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. That is important. See, the thing is, we are too familiar with the story. See, the thing is, the author here is telling the reader first what is going on. Okay, so this is a narrative style. So quite often, the readers know that is the angel of the Lord. But Moses doesn't. So this is the way this is presented, okay? And appear to him is like in Hebrew grammar, it's consecutive. Consecutive means like when in a Hebrew narrative, okay? When there are sequence of events, okay? So this follow, not immediately, but follow after. So we can say, and then the angel of the Lord. So which means that he drove his flock all the way to Horeb. And then what happened? The next thing that happened is the Lord appeared. But the thing is, without Moses knowing that it's the Lord, right? Now, a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. How are we to interpret this? Is this normal or is this a miracle? You all know about the white fire in L.A., now in Georgia. Does it happen? Yes. Is it a normal routine? No, it does. So it's not a miracle. I think in a very dry place with the heat of the sun, okay, so bush could burn by itself. So we know that, okay. Now, and then it says, he looked and behold. Now this is, if we know the Hebrew narrative, this is like a cameraman, okay, shifting his camera, okay. So which means that it used to be like the angle is looking as Moses, okay, seeing the burning bush. And then now, okay, this is from Moses' angle. So look and behold. So this is written from the perspective of Moses, telling us what Moses is seeing. So, see, look and behold. So, perspective change. And to realize that the bush was not burning, it must take some time, right? If you just glance at it, okay, something burning. No. Well, you see something burning. And you stand and look, maybe for 5 minutes, 10 minutes at least. You understand what I'm saying? Before you realize that, hey, this is not normal. Okay, the bush is not burning. Or maybe he's not smelling the smoke of the bush. Okay, if you burn something, you smell, okay, you smell the burn, right? So what we see is we are seeing like God draw Moses' attention from what is not normal, not normal routine, okay, to supernatural. Okay, to draw Moses' attention, so unnatural to supernatural. So this is often how God calls a person to ministry. So first, you're aware of the need, right? For some reason, you know that there's a specific need, or something unusual is happening around, okay, in your ministry, in the church. And then you pay attention. Right, so people who have a burden to mission in Japan and elsewhere, it's like there's always a starting point where the person was drawn to it, and then after he paid attention, he realized that something is going on. Okay, some miracle is happening. Okay, now verse 3. Okay, and Moses said, this is important. Because in this narrative, this is, speech is always important in Hebrew narratives. Okay, so which means that Moses is saying something. Okay. In OT or NT narratives, when you see a speech, this is almost like highlight. We must pay attention. Okay. So why is Moses saying this? First, Moses is speaking to himself because there's no one around, right? So when Scripture tells us that, so this we say, oh, maybe okay, you can interpret this as Moses thought. What he's thinking, I will turn aside to see this great sight. Okay, why the bush is not burned. Now, by staying Moses' thought, the author actually repeated these words in both verses. Okay, so the means is turn aside and see. Okay, so these are actually two verbs. And there's a Hebrew grammar, cohortative. This means that let me turn aside and let me see. This is like a imperative to the person in himself. So this means what? This means determination. Determination. God has determined, Moses had determined to check it out. To check it out. So this is the next step. Okay, so God has successfully drawn Moses' attention. Okay, drawn his interest. Okay, now he's into it. Okay, caught his attention, resolve. Okay, so I think I'm reading it as Moses was caring for his sheep, right? Now, in Horeb, he has turned aside from what? From his sheep. Okay, that he's supposed to be taking care to God's matter, to see the spiritual matter. Okay, what is needed there? Okay, so this is like to his regular duty to God's work. But remember, Moses. Okay, he led his flock for food, right? That's his like a shepherd thing. But then he has 4 years of experience. Okay, he wouldn't abandon his sheep, okay, just as yet, okay, by drawing the attention. Okay, now the thing is, the trigger for Moses to turn aside, okay, is I think analogous to many of us decided to serve God, midlife crisis. Okay, many of you are not very young people. Okay, so we have been in our workplace for like 20-30 years, it's time for a change. Okay, now the question is, what triggered this change? See, if we sit there, okay, tong peng, you know, lay flat, we will never have any mission from the Lord. Okay, open your heart, okay, to explore, okay, to let God draw your attention to something. And then when you pay attention, when you look into it, okay, so which means Moses' speech is his response. Respond is important. So Moses responds to God's initiation to serve him. I'm not saying that you should all quit your job and serve full time. But I do believe that every believer should serve God. Right? This is our duty. Okay. But the thing is, you say, okay, where do I serve? What ministry? See, this is the answer to your question. Okay, did God draw your attention to some places where you could serve? Okay, and you pay attention. Start looking into it. Okay. Now, then the next verse. Oops. Turn aside to see. Okay, when the Lord. Okay, so, verse 4. When the Lord saw that. Okay, so this is how to read this. This is God responding to Moses' response. You understand? So when we respond, God always responds. So this is how God responds to Moses' response. Interesting. When the Lord saw that, he turned aside to see. Exact repetition of what Moses had been doing. Okay, God called him out of the bush. Now, this is divine speech. After Moses' speech. So there's a voice, audible voice that Moses heard. And then, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. I want to tell you, this Moses, Moses is of utmost importance that most of us would miss. Okay, from linguistic, okay, whoops. Moses, we have a grammatical term called double vocative. What is double vocative? It's a name was called twice. Okay, and then when a biblical character was called twice, okay, it reflects deep emotion, urgency, intimacy, okay, and always like to command immediate attention, okay, and then the message that follows is of utmost importance. And then I did a study. Okay, when an Old Testament character was called, there are only two persons in the entire Old Testament received this double vocative from God. Moses, and the other one is Samuel. There are only two, very important. Now the thing is, this is of call, but for non-call, outside God's calling a person, okay, to full-time service, there are actually two other persons who has this double vocative from God. The first one is whom? Abraham. Remember Abraham? When is he? He's about to offer Isaac, right? So this is passionate, this is urgent, okay, immediate attention. So Abraham, okay? And then the other one is Jacob. We miss that Jacob is important. Okay, so after Jacob realized that, okay, Joseph was still alive, God appeared to him, okay, and say, Jacob, go down to Egypt. So my conclusion is, like, anyone who receives this double vocative, it's a life-changing experience. Very few people receive that. And this is of the most important. And then, when I study all these divine double vocatives, there's only one answer. All characters respond in the same way. Here I am. Here I am. So the Lord, okay, when the Lord called Moses, okay, called Abraham, everyone, here I am. What does that mean? Ready to serve God. Ready to serve God. So this is how God, okay, called Moses. Okay. As a matter of fact, I list are there double vocatives in the New Testament? Sure, many of them. Okay, by Jesus. Okay, and this is also of utmost importance. Okay, these are all the examples. Remember Martha, right? It's Jesus of highly compassionate. Okay, Martha and Mary. Remember? Okay, and then Simon. Okay, Satan. Okay, like sift him. Remember? Okay, Satan is able to sift Simon. This is what context. Okay, Peter, warning against Peter denying Jesus three times. Okay, very important passage. And then Jesus himself, my God, on the cross. Remember? Very important. And then when Saul was called, and he only Saul received that. He said, like Moses in the OT, Saul, on the road to Damascus. Remember? Okay. And then, lastly, the person rejected by God in the end, when he see God, Lord, but too late. If we don't respond to God calling you, okay, your name twice, okay, then when we call upon God twice, that would be too late. Okay, so find out God's mission in your life and commit to serve him for the rest of your life. Not necessarily full time, but in a particular ministry that God has given you burden. Okay, so now back to Moses. Moses, God's double vocative for Moses. Why is it double vocative? Why? God had been waiting for Moses for 40 years. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, this is not like while Moses was in the palace. No, Moses was in the wilderness. So God has, so why so passionate? And then God, it's time for God to call Moses away from his flock, okay, and to serve God. And this call also revealed that Moses had an intimate relationship with God. Okay, and later we see that Moses is the one, the only one who spoke to God face to face. Remember? Okay, and why is it urgent? Israel was in deep trouble, crying out to God. Okay, and so this is time for God to raise up Moses to deliver his people. See, the thing is, I do see there are not lots of need in church ministry. God is raising up, you know, lay people, okay, full-time pastor to serve him. The same principle today. This is what I'm seeing. Okay, now let me draw a little conclusion. Okay, the process of finding life mission call. We're responsible for that. First, God showed us something unusual, okay? And then he caused us to turn aside, okay? We pay attention to something unusual, maybe something in your workplace, maybe something in your family, okay? And then God revealed the burning bush. That is a sign. God gives you a sign. Look at the sign, okay? Like a signpost. Where should I go from now? Okay, and then the divine bush is also divine presence. Okay, divine presence. Okay, God is there, okay, that we can experience, and then maybe something supernatural, okay, happen. And then finally, when we respond, okay, we will receive this double vocative, okay, but you need to be sensitive, okay, so the Holy Spirit will be urging you. Okay, in a particular way, particular ministry that you are supposed to engage. And finally, what is lacking is the here I am. Send me. That is what God is waiting from you. Okay, second point. Okay, in verse 5. Indeed, before I share with you verse 5 and 6, when I read verse 5 and 6, it doesn't make sense to me at all. It's an interruption to the narrative. Because verse 4 is here I am, and then verse 7 says, then the Lord says, I surely have seen the affliction of my people. This is absolutely no need for verse 5 and 6. Okay, so which means when Moses say, hey, I'm ready, and they say, hey, look at the people. But why take off the suitor's business in Mount Sinai? Okay, so when we observe that, this means that these two verses are of utmost importance. Okay, that's why, okay, Moses put it in, okay, to draw our attention, and or at least this is very important to Moses. Okay, now the question is, what's the theological purpose of verses 5 and 6? That's the answer at the very beginning. Divine holiness is a must for anybody who is to be used by God. Anybody. We must realize this is of utmost importance. Okay, there's no place, okay, in non-pure heart, okay, and not understanding of God's attribute of holiness. Oops. Okay, verse 5. Then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. I'm not sure how many of you understand this verse. I'm not quite sure I understood it when I first read it. Okay, do not come near. Okay, that is interesting. Okay, Moses was standing on the holy ground, right? The bush was burning. Okay, so that could only be understood from the theology of holiness, okay? Because God is so holy, okay? So this is really ironic, okay? God's servant must draw near to God, but not too near, okay? Because it's fatal, it's dangerous. God's holiness is dangerous, Okay, so the thing is, I think this verse is to be read with Exodus 24:1. See, the thing is, Moses is supreme leader. He has the privilege that no man on earth has ever got in terms of his coming into the divine presence. You know, in Old Testament, a mountain is where a deity lives, right? So it's because of Moses going to Sinai. Sinai became the mountain of God. You know that? Because afterwards, Moses brought Israel back to Sinai. Okay, but the thing is, we have no idea how Moses find out that Sinai is the place to call, the place to go. But this end up becoming the mountain of God. Now the thing is, this command is interesting, because this is to be contrast with 24 verse 1. Then God said to Moses, "Come up to the Lord." Okay, so the Lord is what? If you read 19, okay, Moses exclusively can come to the top of the mountain. Everybody on the level, okay, not even on the side of the hill. And then afterwards, he says to Moses, "Come up to the Lord, okay, you Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar." And then verse 2, "Moses alone shall come near." No one can approach God in such a near distance. Moses is the only one who can speak with God face to face, okay, to the Lord. "But the others shall not come near." Explicit, very important theology. So which means that Moses, see, the thing is, no one else is allowed to get into the divine sphere. This is called sphere of sacred sphere, God's holiness. Okay, and then there are many examples that Old Testament characters die or punish because of what? Lack of knowledge of God's holiness. Agree? So this is very important. Okay, so Moses already had the utmost privilege. Now, you are standing on the holy ground. Oops. Okay, what is holy ground? Holy ground is like a full understanding. It's a holy sphere. So which means that this is too much to explain the full details of God's holiness here. But simply said, it's like holiness is in terms of area, spatial. Okay, there's a spatial area of holiness. Okay, which is inviolable. Okay, nobody can violate that. Okay, and any unclean, okay, or any person who does not follow God's rule and enter into this sphere of holiness will be punished, often by death. Let me give you an example. Okay, Nadab and Abihu. Okay, Leviticus 10:6. Okay, and Moses said to Aaron and to Eleazar, Ithamar, and his sons, "Do not let the hair of your heads hang loose, and do not tear your clothes, lest you die." And wrath came upon all the congregation. So this is the consequence of failure to recognize God's holiness. Today, I think the church at large fails to understand God's holiness. Very important theology. Okay, let your brothers, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning that the Lord has kindled. Okay, they cannot wail. Okay, and do not go outside the entrance of the tent of meeting. Okay, so that's this is holy sphere, so which is within the tent. You cannot go out. Okay, lest you die. Why? Because you have the anointing oil. Okay, so Leviticus is the most important book to understand God's holiness. And the thing is, none of us understand what Leviticus is about. Anybody read Leviticus ever? Okay, only a few person. You understand? Okay, probably not. Okay, very difficult book. See, the thing is, and they did according to the word of Moses. So this is the extension of the concept of holy ground. Okay, it's exceedingly dangerous serving God, not knowing God's holiness. That's my message. That's my point. Especially like a moral sin, Okay, so Moses must recognize that what it is that he's standing. Okay, and then the entire tabernacle, okay, sacrificial system is built upon the concept of Holy Spirit. Tabernacle, you know, the most holy place, the holy place, you know, the burnt altar. Okay, these are, see, it is in proportion of the status, the holy status of the person. Only the high priest once a year can get into the most holy place. This is the concept of holiness. Okay, so when we serve God, we must realize that. So our application here is like, we start with here I am. Okay, yes, we're ready to serve God. Okay, but then realize that serving God is a privileged position before God, and that demands holiness. The thing is, Moses was already standing on holy ground. We were already sanctified by faith. Understand what I'm saying? Okay, we are already on holy ground. Okay, we are saved. Okay, so that's the starting point. But the thing is, to serve, the application is, we need to reflect, is there any unholy matters we need to deal with before we commit to serve God? Any words that you're not supposed to say? Any inclination that is not pleasing to God? Or even something, sinful habit that we must repent? Okay, now verse 5. Take your sandals off. Okay, that is most difficult to understand. I don't understand this. You know, sandals, taking off sandals is what? It's an old ancient world covenant ritual. You understand what I'm saying? So to make a covenant, okay, like remember us, okay, at the city gate. But this is, Moses was not making any covenant with God. Okay, so why Moses was asked to remove his sandal? I think this is symbolic meaning, okay, other than, well, of course, holy ground, right? But sandal is also a matter of status. Do slaves wear sandals? Do you know that? No. So I believe my interpretation for Moses asked to remove his sandal is because he must remember his status before God. When we stand before God, remove your sandals. You understand what I'm saying? Recognize, remember that we are slave. We are servant of God. But oftentimes we forgot, especially when we rise up in the church ladder. Okay, there's a church ladder parallel to the corporate ladder. Okay, when we are serving in the more senior position, when we become pastor, leaders, that is exceedingly dangerous. Because we forgot that we are servants. So the first thing God reminded Moses, okay, to be remembered forever, that he is all but slave, servant before God. Okay, and then what Moses did, in addition to this, okay, oops, and then, and he said, okay, second speech. God said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Okay? That means what? God is the God of covenant. He's a covenant God. Okay? He's telling Moses. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. This is important. So how Moses respond to taking off his sandal? Okay, high means what? High conceals for protection. Remember, okay, do not draw near. God's holiness is dangerous. Okay, so Moses had to cover his face. Remember, after he gone down from the mountain. Okay, Exodus 34. Okay, he hid his face also. And then the second most important thing is he was afraid to look. Afraid is the same word as the noun fear of the Lord. Okay, so this fear of the Lord actually is, to the bottom line, is what? Fear of God's holiness. Agree? See, fear of the Lord, the theology of fear of the Lord, you dare not sin because fear. Why we dare not sin? Because God is holy. A holy God will not tolerate any sin at all. So that's the reason. Okay, see, at Moses' call, Moses realized two things: his servant status and the fear of the Lord. So this is of utmost importance, okay, for us to find out, okay, what God wants us to do, okay, and this is for our protection and also to the service of God, okay. The thing is, one more note on looking. Moses was okay to look at the burning bush before he realized that God called him. You understand what I'm saying? Now, after God called, asked him to take off his sandals, he dare not look at the burning bush anymore. You understand what I'm saying? This is out of reverence. Okay? The realization of divine presence does make a change to Moses. Okay? And that is God's preparation of Moses to serve him. Okay? Let me conclude. Okay? Our message today, okay, the process of finding your life mission to God. God will show you something unusual, okay, you need to respond, turn aside, and then God may give you a sign, a burning bush, to show his presence, and then it may be a supernatural thing, as a confirmation. Sign is always a confirmation in the Old Testament to make sure that you know that, okay, this is the Lord's, okay, the mission for you, not your own intention. And then the double vocative, and then your response to here I am, and the last two is to realize, okay, God's holiness demand, fear him, and that you are his servant. Indeed, to be God's servant is of the highest privilege before God. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We are all sinful men, yet used by you. We ask that your Spirit help us, tell us what our mission, okay? Help us to find our life mission to serve you. Perhaps you have intended us to serve you full time, or perhaps you have intended us to commit our life to a particular ministry. Okay, so we will be faithful and good servant when we see you. We pray that you help us to find our life mission, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.